here we go. So the Gemara, we mentioned this last class. Let's just recap the end of last class. We spoke about the Gemara in Brachot with Rashi. The Rabbi Alexander, we did this last class, you're right. After he finishes tefillot, he would say the following words. Ribon Olamim, Master of the Universe, Galuvi Adolfinecha, it's well known before you. Shiratzanein la'sarosanecha, you know that we want to do your will. Umi ma'kev, what's holding us back? Sa'or shabi'isa, it is the yeast that is in the dough. And it should be your will, God. You should save us from it. And we should return to do your will with a full heart. What is this so'or, shabisa? What is this yeast in the dough that Rabbi Alexander in the Gemara is talking about? Says Rashi. So'or shabisa. Look at the bottom of the page. Don't look at me. 78 at the bottom. What is this so'or shabisa? What is this yeast in the dough? Says Rashi, Yetzara, it is a Yetzara, Shebil Bavenu, which is inside our,
in our heart.
Actually, it doesn't say heart, it says in our hearts.
Hearts.
You have two hearts. Yes. What does that mean? You have two hearts. Why do you have two hearts, Marjorie? We all say that's right. In Shema, we say Bechol Levavcha.
Because we have a potential for good, a potential for bad.
Right. We have a Yetzer Tov, a Yetzer Ra. Both hearts. We have two hearts. That's why it says Levavcha, not Libcha, which is your heart. Your hearts in the plural, as says in the Shema, because the Yetzer Ra, Yetzer Tov, you have to channel both. Says Rashi over there towards the good. Over here, he's saying, however, there is a chametz that is in our hearts. This is not a cholesterol problem, ladies. This is a problem of the Yetzer Hara, which is constantly coming for us, which is compared, God bless you, compared to chametz. Says the Gemara elsewhere, mitzvah baliado, when the chance for a mitzvah comes to your hand, al tachmitzena, don't let a mitzvah become chametz. How does a mitzvah become chametz? What does that mean, chametz? What are you doing? What's the difference between chametz and matzah? When you make bread, it's the time. Very good. It's the zman. Yeah? It's the zman, the timing of it. It takes more time. The chametz sits and inflates itself and gets. That's why you go to a matzah factory. It's moving and it's fast and it's going. Quick, you have 18 minutes from the moment the water touches the flour into the oven. So it's a quick mode. Much faster. So we want our mitzvot to be matzot. Okay? Both are there. Mitzvot, matzot are the same. If a mitzvah comes to your hand, al tachmitzena, don't let your mitzvahs become chametz. Don't leave all the positive good things in your life to sit and to just grow and become chametz. So we see Avram Havinu, when the Malachim came to visit him, what was he doing? He acted very quickly. It was Pesach, says Rashi later on. It was Pesach. He gave matzah to his guests. Matzah represents quickness, alacrity, zrizus. Zrizut. Speed, passion. Desire to do the right thing and quickly. Alacrity is how they pronounce it. Translate. I don't know what that word means, but you're constantly moving fast. If a mitzvah comes to your hand, don't let your mitzvah become chametz. Let your mitzvot become like matzot. So we're going to see that the chametz represents the yetzara, that which holds us back. So chametz during the entire year is okay and kosher. However, once a year, it starts to represent the yetzara, laziness. Let's have a look at Sefer Chinuch.
Why is it only once a year?
On page 79. That's Pesach time, formation of our people. That's when it all gets going. That's when the...
So the rest of the year, it's okay?
That's the year we learn from it. Just like we do Teshuvah and Yom Kippur. Teshuvah the rest of the year, yeah, but you learn it out from Yom Kippur. Okay? So we're learning it out from here. Page 79. Says the Sefer Chinuch, this is mitzvah 117, and what's that mitzvah? To get rid of the chametz. And he gives us a reason why we make such a big deal. Now, chametz is a lot more lethal than non-kosher food. We know that non-kosher food is batel b'shishim. If non-kosher food falls into your kosher food, if there are 60 parts kosher to one part non-kosher, you can eat that food. That is not the case when it comes to chametz. Even a mashahu, even a little bit of chametz falls into your non-chametz food on Pesach. Before Pesach it's okay. Before Pesach it's kosher. So it is batel b'shishim before Pesach. But on Pesach itself, it's not mevatel. I feel a bit left, even one in a thousand. So chametz fast represents something very, very, very lethal, even a small amount. That's why we all go crazy cleaning our homes to Pesach every last crumb. Every last crumb. Right, because it's not batel b'shishim. It's not batel efil b'lef, even a thousand. Yes, Emma Rubenstein.
So the same go, doesn't the same go for milk and meat? If it's like a pot with like meat, something.
Batel b'shishim, no problem. Milk falls into meat, or milk, if there's one part 60, it goes. Chametz, we have a much lower threshold. Halach has a much lower threshold for chametz. Even a small amount of it renders everything non-kosher. That's why we're so, so careful. Okay? Velken, he says, Behircha chametz. Therefore, we get rid of every little small amount of chametz. Shunase b'shia gedola. Which symbolizes our desire to for greatness. Right? Because it represents enthusiasm and speed. In order to do the right thing, says the Sefer Chinuch, as we see in Pirkei Avot, have a kal kenesher, be bold, be light as an eagle, right? Veratz ketzvi, and run like a deer, swift as a deer, v'kibo ka'ari, and strong like a lion, la'asor, rason avichem shemaim, do the right thing. So we have to keep on our toes when Pesach comes around. What are we representing? The idea of speed. Now we see the Jewish people left with matzot on their back. They didn't allow their matzot to become chametz, the bread to become chametz, because they were excited and moving quickly towards creating the Jewish people in Har Sinai. That's what that was about. That was an excitement, a passion that Chazal are pointing out, the Torah is indicating. Okay? So what are we doing? So when we remove the chametz, we're not just removing the chametz from our home, we're removing the chametz from our soul as well. There's a house cleaning, but there's also a soul cleaning as well. Says the Peliyoetz, this is Rav Eliezer Papo, he went through the Hebrew alphabet, looking for different ideas for each letter, and when he gets to the letter Chet, he comes to chametz. And he says, Mitzvah b'yo chametz, what is this? Leva'er et ruach atuma, to get rid of the, when you clean the chametz, you're actually removing the spirit of impurity. Ve'et ha-yetzara b'kabenu, and the yetzara inside ourselves. Chametz equals yetzara. Ve'lachen, kol yad ha-marba levadek, whoever spends more time looking and checking, harizeh mishabech. This is praiseworthy. This is a tremendous mitzvah. Every moment we spend searching and clearing the house of chametz and removing it, we're going to see. You have to remove it, you got the mevatel. We're going to see all the different ways that we get rid of it. We make sure that there's no chametz under our door. You can't see it. Bal yira, bal yamatzah. You're not going to see it. You're not going to be able to find it. And you're going to sell it and you're going to destroy it. You're going to completely wipe it out. You're going to squish it in every way, shape, and form. All of this is a tremendous Torah mitzvah. This is a Torah mitzvah. And it's also symbolic of us hoping to remove the Yetzer Hara this time. Okay? So why exactly? Why would Chametz take on this such a strong, strong Isur? Very strong. A person eats Chametz on Pesach, karet. Same as eating food in Yom Kippur. This is very, very, very strong. We're not messing around over here, ladies. This is big stuff. We don't want this Chametz anywhere near our lips, anywhere near our eyes even. Very unusual. Usually, you see a non-kosher food, you see non-kosher food. Here, you don't want to have any contact. You want to own non-kosher food, you can own non-kosher food. You can own non-kosher food. Okay? Okay, you can't benefit from milk and meat. But you can own certain non-kosher foods. Here, you can't even own it. Very unusual. This is very, very strict. Trust me. This is uncharacteristic of halacha. Obviously, there's something very, very, very not good about this stuff. Says the Sefer Chinuch again, Lefi, Shasor Magbia Atzmo, V'lachen Netzchako. It represents ego and arrogance. It's inflated. It's full of itself. It's full of hot air. Torah does not like that. Therefore, it comes to hint, L'rmoz ki tov Hashem kol gavalev. Every arrogant heart, says King Solomon in Mishlei, is an abomination to God. Hashem does not like it. Okay? Turn to page 80, halfway down. Let's have a look at Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. He writes very, very beautifully. In our generation, there's been this great move back into reading. He's always popular, but especially in our generation, because he writes about Jewish pride and Jewish people and nationhood. So suddenly, he'd been in our generation for interesting reasons, not for now. He's become very, very popular. He has a commentary on the Torah and many, many more writings, which became very, very popular. I try to read it once a week. Very, very good and inspirational stuff. He speaks a lot about this idea of freedom and how freedom is an incredible and important aspect of being Jewish. Not just free in terms of not a slave, but free from our Yetzer Hara as well. Free from the shackles that hold us down. Let's have a look what he says, bottom of page 80. This is translated, I think, from the original German, I think. Freedom, he says. What is freedom? What is the idea of chayrut? He's speaking about chayrut over here. Freedom, right? Remember chayrut? It's freedom. Zaman chayruseinu. The time of our freedom. That's how Pesach is referred to. Time of our freedom. He says freedom, by which you mean deliverance from burdens and the breaking of change, is only a negative good. He said there's one thing to go free from that which we don't want. This freedom is merely a state in which the impediment standing in the way of fulfillment of the human vocation has been removed. So there's one thing getting out of Mitzrayim, breaking the shackles, the chains that hold us back. Yeah? It is merely a state in which room has been made for the divine likeness to shine forth in man. Okay? He's like, but there's something more. If this is to be fulfilled, if you want to do this, if this likeness is to be realized, then the person who's become liberated, that's us, and has been freed from his burdens, must acknowledge him to whom he owed his liberation. So there's one thing to go free, but you also have to have a koros hatov, great to God. The freed, unburdened person must accept his freedom from burdens and his liberty as a gift from God. He must recognize in God the source of his freedom, and he must feel eternally bound to God and service to him precisely because of his freedom. So there's one thing to go free, but then who set you free? Freedom is only as good as where you go next. So we went from slavery to freedom. What does that to freedom mean? Freedom doesn't mean like, whoa, let's party, I'm free, person, do whatever I want. Freedom means I went into the service and gratitude for those, the one who freed me, it's Kodesh Baruch Hu, because Hashem took us out directly. Okay? So what is that? So let's go a little bit further. Now we'll talk more about this when we get to Shavuot, because remember the whole coming out of Mitzrayim was all about preparing us for Matan Torah, right? We spoke about that. Matan Torah is the reason we left Mitzrayim. Oh, why can't we get the Torah in Mitzrayim? Why do you have to schlep us out? Because only a free people, only people who are unburdened by the shackles, can appreciate the Torah. Torah is for the free people. So here we see a clever idea. This is on page 81, and it goes like this. We'll write this one on the board so you can see it. Because here's a play on the vowels. So Pesach is called Zman Cheruseinu, the time of our freedom. Right? The word Cherus. means free. But if you change the vowels under the letters, the word chayrut becomes charut. What does charut mean?
Engraved.
Chiseled in. Cut in. Right. Right. So chayrut is free. Right? So chayrut. But charut, same word, right? Charut means to engrave, to etch something. What is that talking about? Why would the same word for freedom be the same word to etch? Well, what was etched into what? Well, we know, say Chazal and the Torah, that the Luchos, the Torah, the Ten Commandments specifically, which we'll talk about more after Pesach, were etched into the Luchot. They were cut into it. That's interesting. So there's two ways you can put things on a medium. You can write them on something, which sticks out. When you write the letters on a cloth, the letters stick out on top, right? They're on top. But you can also cut into something. Which do you think is more long-lasting? Etching, right? If you cut into stone, that will last longer than if you write something on top of something. If something is bolet, I'm sticking on top, right? It's not as long-lasting. So obviously, the first time the Torah was given to us, the main ideas, yes, why those ideas, we'll discuss another time, but something about those 10 ideas, 10 statements actually is correct, had to be cut in, they had to be etched in, they had to be long-lasting. Say Chazal, therefore freedom is connected to one who is etching in the letters into their heart, i.e. one who studies Torah. So the Chayrut led to the Charut. The freedom led to the etching in of these ideas onto the tablets. That's Pirkei Avot. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Tov, page 81. V'omer, v'haluchot ma'aseh Elokim hema. The Luchot, the tablets, were the work of God. V'amichtav, michtav Elokimu. Charut al halichot. They were etched into the tablets. Al tikra chayrut. Don't say they were free. Ela chayrut. She'in lecha. Because don't say they were, sorry. Don't say they were etched in. The word etched in can also be read. They were free. He says, why? Why is the same word for freedom and etched? She'en lecha ben chorin, because you do not see a free person. Ela misha sek betalma Torah. Freedom comes from studying Torah. Torah frees us in some very deep way. Okay. Says Rav Chaim Freeland on this. Elu choshim shatzmam. There are some people who consider themselves chofshim, free. Why? They think they're free if they are free from mitzvot. Right? He says, no, that's not freedom at all. Adaraba. Hem. Kvolim chazak ma'od. They are stuck. Kol achad mehem uva nirtza letavatav. Because they are now at the mercy of the Yetzara. So the chametz had to be removed. The chametz was removed when we left Egypt. We were not a chametz people. We became a matzah people. We became matzah men and matzah women. And then we got to Har Sinai. They made 49 days. We'll talk about this 49 days. The Omer, which we said already was a very happy and joyous time of preparation for the Torah. And then we get to Har Sinai. And we become Charut. We engrave these words on ourselves. Okay? We engrave these words on ourselves. That is the theme. Okay. Jump if you will to page 83. Let us move to the next topic, which is all related. We're building up a theme over here. Hopefully you're feeling this. So, generally speaking, free people do nothing. That's what we think. Free people can do whatever they want. They can sit back with their feet up, not doing anything. Interestingly, we in Judaism see the other way. Free people now get to do more. Why? Because they have responsibility. You see, one thing the B'nai Israel wanted to do was go back to Mitzrayim. They complained about the food. I know it's hard to believe the Jews complain about food. I know this is difficult for you to even fathom. But we know that the Jews complained about the food. They complained about there was no meat and they didn't like this man. They complained about the man. It's hard to believe. This beautiful, miraculous food. They would eat to taste whatever you wanted it to taste of. And they were fetching about it and they'd have this and the water and the quails and the that. And oh, why would you want to go back to Mitzrayim? Why would you want to go back to Mitzrayim? Yes, Shimrit.
I know this seems sort of far-fetched, but like, isn't there any way, like, I don't know, like, how being a bit sarcastic.
Who?
The Jews are just like, yeah, well, we could have just gone back to Australia.
Interesting you say that. There happens to be, not related to this topic, there was a certain amount of sarcasm that came at a certain point at the Yam Suf when they said, well, there are no graves in Egypt that we brought us to die over here. But later on, they meant it. They wanted to go back and they complained. And they said, take it back. Why would that be? Why would someone, please answer this question. Why would someone want to go back to prison? I'll take you out of prison. You're free. And then you want to go back. Is there such a thing people want to go back to prison? People want to go back to prison?
Well, because they had, I mean, like, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. They had everything there. Like, the Egyptians gave them food.
Yes.
Shelter.
Absolutely.
And water, and now they're in the desert. They're not near the Nile anymore. They have a lot to worry about that they didn't have to worry about.
Absolutely. You're saying beautiful. This is absolutely the answer. Back in Mitzrayim wasn't good. In prison, you get your three squares, you get your water, you get your job. It's an unpleasant but safe environment. But as one of my rabbis said to me as a child, ships are very safe in the harbour, but that's not what they're made for. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? I feel good. I'm channeling my rabbi from my childhood. A few times I actually listened to him. I wasn't chutzpahdik. Yes, absolutely. We were very safe in Mitzrayim. However, we had to leave. Because that's not what we were there for. Although you go free, people like look at the Middle East today. Right? All these people were freed. Some of them were fighting and killing each other. Nachon? It's like, 1 second. You're free, we gave you democracy. Oh, I don't want that. It's ironic, but they actually remember the good old days when they were beaten and hurt and challenged. Very, very. This is part of the human condition. This is part of the human condition over here. Right? The Bnei Yisrael, they wanted to go back because there was safety over there. What comes with freedom? What comes with chirut? Responsibility. Responsibility. And what does responsibility mean, really? Action. Action. Now, this is the key word over here. Now we're going to look at a very, very famous Sefer Chinuch piece. This is a classic. And this will really summarize. We're going to learn out, by the way, all of Jewish thought from this one idea. And I think I've learned this with in other classes here at Stern. But this is a very famous Sefer Chinuch. And if you have your yellow markers, this is the time to really start to go over your words over here. Let's have a look at page 83. The Sefer Chinuch is going to talk about action. Now, he could talk about this anywhere, but he talks about it by Pesach, because Pesach is all about action. We do a lot of stuff. Right? We're going to see there's many, many mitzvot related to Pesach. You've got to wipe away the chametz. You've got to do all the banquet in the house. Then you've got to get the matzah. Then there's the wine. And then there's the leaning. And there's the maror. And all these other mitzvot. It's a lot to do. Hey, we're free. What are you making me do stuff for? If this is all about freedom, what we should do on Pesach? Sit back with our feet up. Let our mothers not freak out. Chill out. Put your feet up. What are you cleaning for? If we're free, do nothing. So he's going to tie all this together very beautifully and give us one small idea. And inside this one idea, ladies, is everything there is to know about Judaism. There you go. I said it. Everything. Everything. Let's have a look at what Sefer Chinuch said. This is Mitzvah 16. Now remember, this is 16 out of 613 because this occurs very early on in the Torah, right? And he says, Ra'i lanu, it is fitting for us, la'asot ma'asim, to do actions, ha'marim banu m'mala gedola. Of the saints, talking about eating the matzah, Pesach Seder, telling the story, right? Reading the Haggadah is a Torah mitzvah we're going to see, eating the matzah. We have rabbinic mitzvahs, okay? We're going to have seven mitzvahs altogether, I believe, if I remember correctly. Other Pesach Seder, we're going to go through them. He's like, it's fitting for us on this very special day to do lots of stuff. To do lots and lots of stuff. We're so busy. Eating, cleaning, running around, up and down and moving. He said, that's the way it's got to be. He said, I'll tell you why. umetocha maaseh, because it is through action, vahadimyon, and through our experiences, our imaginations, shanachnu osin, that we do, nikba benafshasenu hadavar leolam, that these things will stay in our souls forever. What's he saying? The al tachshav, and don't think, benilitfas al divrei halomar, those people who say, why do I have to do all this stuff to remember these miracles? Why does Hashem make us do all this? Just say, remember the miracles. That's good. I'll remember it in my head. Why do I have to do so much stuff? He says, my child, don't be puzzled by this. V'halo, b'zichron echad, yale hadavar b'machshavaseinu, v'lo yishkach m'fizareinu. It's only through our remembering these things, through our actions, that we will remember them, and they'll be passed down to the mouths of our children, our descendants. And here's the punchline. Da, you should know, ki ha'adam nif'al kefi pu'latav. Those are the key words. A person is affected. They are shaped by their actions. What makes you who you are? Not what you think, but what you do. Adam nif'al kefi pu'latav. A person is shaped. We are shaped as a people by what we do. So for us, we are told to remember. Remember the word zecher? The Yetzir Mitzrayim comes up, remember, remember. So remembering for us is not just sitting down and remembering. How do we remember? We do. We do actions. We are about doing stuff. When you do things with your body, it's going to affect your mind, your personality, and your memory. So you have a personal memory, but you also have, as a people, a collective national memory. And that is what's happening on Pesach. We are going to eat the matzah. We're going to lean. We're going to look at the Zerah. We're going to do things. We have to clean it up. You can feel all spiritual and play guitars all night. Let's remember coming out of Egypt. I love Hashem. No, it's not an NCSY Shabbaton. You've got to clean it out. You've got to pick up a broom, sweep out your house. You've got to clean out the oven. You've got to get rid of the chametz. Then you have to prepare the Seder table, and you've got everything ready, and bring the Haggadahs. You've got to tell the story from the beginning, the entire Jewish people. You have to eat the matzah, lean, drink the wine, eat the maror, charoset, all this stuff. It's all about action. We are a people of action, of doing stuff. Why? Because memory for us doesn't remain in our brains. It becomes an action. It's funny. It used to be that in even the psychological world, what would they say? Change a person's mind, and then you'll fix them. And now they're following this more of this idea. It's like, more popular modern psychology now, is to change a person's actions. If you change your actions, you change your mind the exact opposite way. If you don't feel so good, do things differently. That will affect you. That's the Jewish idea. That's what the Sefer Chinuch is sharing with us over here. He then goes and uses this as a model for the rest of Jewish life. And he says, check this out. V'libo, a person's heart, v'chol machshosav, and all their thoughts, tamid achamasav, follow your actions, shu'osav, that you do, im tov im ra. Now this is going to apply for good or bad, because people do bad actions. If you do bad actions, that makes you a bad person. If you do good actions, that makes you a good person. And he's going to explain. Afilu Rasha Gamor, let's have a really bad person. I mean, a person who does, like, thinking terrible things, right? All the time, thinking about how can I hurt people, how can I destroy people. All they do is think bad stuff. Im Yare Rucho, let's say they have a change of spirit. V'yasim Yishtadlato, and they start to say, you know what? I'm going to change my actions. Va'aska bat madud b'torah mitzvah. They start to get involved in Torah, do mitzvot. Afilu shloshim shemayim. They don't do it because they want to become but they want to do it because for non-shem shemayim reasons, they do it for, I don't know, so they seem good. Right? They give tzedakah. So that other people think, oh, look at this great person. Right? They do it for ulterior motives. Miyad nitalatov. The actions of this person, even though they're doing it for superficial reasons, they think bad stuff. They think all day, I want to hurt people, I want to hurt people, I want to steal. But they take money, put it in the pushka, they're on the way to being good. Your actions, whether you like it or not, end up changing your mind. Over koach masav, the power of your actions, yamid yetzara is going to kill your yetzara. Hiachrei ha'pu'olot, nimshachim alevavot. Because after your actions, your hearts are going to follow. Your heart will follow your actions. And he says, on the opposite way as well, check this out. Let's have a person who thinks about doing good all the time. I want to help people. I want to be nice to people. I want to do chesed. I want to learn Torah. V'afilu mi'e adam tzadik gamor. This person's a real tzadik. V'lavavo yashar v'tamim. His heart is straight and good. You know these really nice people? They're just nice. Chafetz b'torah mitzvot. They're thinking, you know, I need to do Torah. I need to do mitzvot. Im yasek tamid b'dvarim shel dofi. If they get involved in terrible things, they do bad stuff. Kilo tomar derech mashal. For example, even if someone forced them to do it, at some point, b'umnut ra'ah, they're going to follow bad ways. Be'emet im koloske tamid koliyom ba'ota umnut. If they spend their entire day doing bad things, eventually they become bad. Next page. Yeshuv lizman mezmanim. So they're thinking good all day, they're saying we want to do good, but their actions are different. United Nations. They're always talking about good, but they do bad stuff. Eventually, you become bad. Because your bad actions eventually affect your mind. Ki yadua davar, this is a known thing. The emet, and it's true, he says, shekol adam, that every single person, nifal kfi polotav, is affected by their actions. With this principle in mind, don't be perplexed. He's talking to his son over here. That we have so many mitzvot regarding the miracles of Mitzrayim. Shehem amud godobas. Because this is a very, these miracles became very important pillars of our faith. For they're central for us, and through our actions, they help us remember how great they were. There is a story of the Chafetz Chaim, which I must share with you, which I usually share at this point when discussing this idea. I think I mentioned it before here at Stern. I'll mention it again. The Chafetz Chaim was approached by a man who wanted to have had a position offered to him in a bank. Now, in those days, banks were not like they were today. Nowadays, you have one window you go to and either withdraw or deposit. In the olden days, there were separate windows, one for withdrawing money, one for depositing money. What? Different windows. You had the withdrawal window and the deposit window. The Chafetz Chaim was asked by a guy, shall I take a job in the bank? And he said, yes. Only, however, if you get the position in the withdrawal window, not the deposit window. So the guy said, what's the difference? I'm not giving out my money, and I'm not taking the money for myself when I take it in. It's not my money, I'm just working for the bank. And the Chofetz Chaim said something very profound. He said, if you spend your entire day in the deposit window taking money, your actions will affect who you are, you'll become a taker. Just the act of taking all day, making it into a taker, even though you're not taking, you're not stealing the money, it's the bank's money. No difference. If you spend the whole day taking, become a taker. But if you spend your entire day in the withdrawal window and you give your money, you'll become a giver. Therefore, only take the job in the withdrawal window and not in the deposit window. It's based upon this idea. So we learn it out from Pesach, because Pesach, we're going to see, has many, many mitzvot, a lot of actions. Do not be distracted by this, ladies. Do not say to yourself, oh, why does Hashem have to bother me with all this? It's so difficult. Pesach is so hard. Why does it have to be this way? It is challenging. It is challenging. But through the actions we go through, that is how it affects us very, very deeply. Okay. Yes.
Does this idea support those programs that pay young people to study? Like in Brazil, they have programs that they pay like high school students, Jewish high school students that are separate.
Yeah.
To have Torah classes.
That's fine. Listen, we're not saying you should learn. Learning is an action. Learning is something you do. You sit, you learn, you engage in something. Motivating people to learn, nothing wrong with that. I do it to my kids, do it to adults. You're being motivated with a degree. I'm being motivated to be here by my salary. That's okay. Doesn't take away from the act itself. No problem. No problemo. Okay. So we're going to see there's a number of mitzvot we have on Pesach itself, at the Pesach Seder table. Let's have a look at the Pasuk in Shemot, Yud Gimel Chet, 13:8. And there is a mitzvah from the Torah to speak, to talk. Says the Torah, V'higarata levincha, you have to tell your child, b'yomahu, on this day, lemor, because, b'avur zeh, because of this, asa Hashem li b'seisi Mitzrayim, that God acted on my behalf when I left Egypt. What exactly is this mitzvah all about? Let's have a look.